Yeah, it was it felt like I never left. It was really nice, at least with the people that they were, they knew I was there, and they were kind enough to reach out, and I don't know, it felt really, really nice, and I needed that. I needed like the to feel like I was part of a community again.
Goodbye.
Everybody and Austin.
Ah.
Hi.
Hi.
We were supposed to do this while I was in Costa Rica, but it didn't happen. Mostly because I thought Austin was too busy, but he thought I was too busy, and we just never made a point of recording this new episode. So that was, I guess, 50-50 the
Yeah,
guilt.
yes, you were obviously there to deal with practical things, visa things, but it was also essentially a vacation.
Don't know how much of a vacation that was because I didn't sleep well. I slept the 2 weeks I was there, I slept in like on a mattress on the floor. I thought it was gonna be okay, but that mattress was not at all what I'm used to, and every morning I had like to wake up, try to I had to stretch my back and my neck, and it was too painful, like for the first hour.
Yeah,
So,
that's
and
all
then
well
start
and
my
good
day.
for like a.
Go see doctors, go see like the eye doctor, the teeth doctor, the blood doctor, the like everything, just to check if everything is going well. So, I don't know
Which it
if it
was.
counts as a vacation.
Yeah, but 90% of the trip was time with family, time with
No,
dogs.
it was like 50%, just to be more accurate. First week was a lot of stuff, and then the second was more like seeing friends and hanging out, which was great.
Yeah, and you got to do some cosplay and some photo shoots
Yeah.
and see your
Yeah,
doggies.
that was awesome. And yeah, the doggies, of course.
Part of the reason why we have Canvas, for those who do not realize, is because you were always a very die-hard dog person. You would just like adopt them off the street and had four dogs in Costa Rica that you had to leave behind. And so after a while, it became too much.
I know. So, yeah, no, it was great. I feel fulfilled now. I feel happy, and I also felt like this trip was a little bit of a how do you phrase like a open my eyes to reality again. I don't know, there's a phrase, there's a quote.
Like refreshing, you mean of your of life here?
Things are so different there, and some things I forgot, and it's good to remember. It's good to remember where I'm from, and it's good to remember how some people leave to be grateful for the things that I have right now.
Yeah, I think, obviously you were traveling and I travel quite a bit, and that seemed to be kind of the general topic of today's show. But I think, in a sense, the reason why it's a relevant topic is what you just said. The number one benefit that I would say I get from traveling is that you see how other people live, and not only do you just empathize with people as a result, you just realize people are not, alien creatures, but just different people. And that they're, like all of us, shaped by their environment, by their culture, by their families, and friends, and neighbors. And when you actually see it firsthand, first off, I've always been struck by the fact that it always feels more similar than not. you're like, oh, people are pretty much on a foundational level the same everywhere in the world. No matter where I go, I see, you know, familiar types. But also, and they deal with the same struggles. Everybody's trying to put food on the table, be a good parent, be a good sibling, whatever, all that kind of thing. But all that said, you do also in your travels, in one's travels, see things that should be big reminders of how grateful, even just in the airports, mm-hmm. I'll see people, you know, someone who's lost their bag or someone who's struggling, you know, with some stressful situation, or, you know, you see them on the phone panicking about something and you haven't even made it to the plane and you're just confronted with this wide cross section of humanity. And it's always I should not let the things that stress me out stress me out. I should just constantly be reminding myself how grateful I need to be that all things considered, the majority of these problems that I have are not, it could be so much worse. They're not a,
right.
They're not a big deal. They, you know, they too shall pass. Traveling is such a powerful reminder of that, especially if you then go, you know, you don't just go to the places that cater to tourists. You know what I mean? Like, obviously, mm-hmm. when you go to Costa Rica and you're staying with your family, you're not at a resort filled with Americans.
Right.
It's the real deal. You see things that we don't have to deal with.
Yeah, it's just things that it's easy to forget. It's so simple. It's easy. And it's not like look, I stayed with my family, and I know I come from a very humble place and surrounded by humble people. And after 5 years of not being there, sleeping there, it's just easy to forget. It's just the simple things. Like, I don't know, like we were listening to, here's the thing. I'm going to get specific here.
Yeah, I was actually going to ask you to, so this is great.
My grandma died a few years ago, and it was her anniversary. And my family, my aunt, organized, you know, like a, how do you say, like a gathering, like a prayer. Mm. I don't know how to, yeah. So anyway.
Like a memorial or a tribute.
Uh-huh. Right. And my cousin, she just basically put the prayer on YouTube just to listen on speakers. The first thing that I notice, it's just so funny because you only see this in this kind of families. First thing I noticed is that she has speakers for like karaoke, and those are like super flashy and have like super colorful lights. So the speakers are like flashing lights, but you hear the prayer, and I couldn't help. It was just so funny. I was laughing the entire time.
That does feel like a scene from like a show about an immigrant family, you know, or so, like it.
I know.
That's hilarious.
So yeah, that was the first thing. I never said anything, obviously, because, you know, like for them, it's just like, yeah, that's the thing. That's the speaker, whatever.
But that's such a specific thing to have to own, though, to own like a karaoke machine.
Well, my cousin, she's into it. She likes that. And that is very common in families like ours. But anyway, just to continue my story, the other thing that made me laugh, and it was just a reminder of, yes, this is us, was that in the middle of the sentence of the prayer, I don't know, let's say we were going to say Ave Maria. And in the middle of that Ave, a YouTube ad just started
Oh no. The pain.
I know. It just like oh, like an ad for ads. I don't even remember. I don't even remember. It was like juice or something. And I just burst laughing. I couldn't help it because it's so charming.
That's so funny.
I don't know. Anyway, that was like, oh my God, yes, of course, YouTube ads. We don't have that here.
No.
But of course we have them.
We do have YouTube ads here, but I proudly pay.
You don't have because you watch YouTube all the time. And I actually don't watch YouTube at all. So I was not familiar with that.
That's so funny. Yeah, no, buying YouTube Premium was the best purchase I think I've ever made in my entire life.
Only you. Honestly, I will never pay for that. But anyway,
this wouldn't happen.
Exactly. That is what happens to people like me. That is what happened there. So
that's
it's
so
just
funny.
The little things, you know, those things that you just forget, and it's like, yes, we are.
How did everybody react when the ads started? Like, I get you laughing, but does it feel so normal to them? They don't even react, or do they also find it funny?
Well, you know, you can picture everybody was like with their heads down and stuff, and when the ad started, like, we just start looking at each other.
Okay.
I
could picture a situation where that's actually so normal that they just don't. It's like, yeah, so what? It's an ad. They happen all the time. Like, I could see it being a thing that they almost don't react, you know, which would be kind of hilarious in its own way.
Oh, God. Yeah, that was so, so funny. I would probably never forget. And this is the kind of thing that I mean. This is where I'm from. And I'm just happy I get to live this.
Yeah, I've said it many times. I don't remember if I've said it on here, but I certainly say it to people conversationally on a regular basis that I think you deserve a huge amount of credit for moving halfway across the world, or a quarter across the world, to a totally different culture and lifestyle. You know, you've talked about how you were iffy on your English at the time in which you moved. I always think that you are too hard on yourself, but there's no question that you're a lot more comfortable in that. I mean, we could never have done this podcast when you first moved.
I think
you would have never Absolutely. Had the confidence. Even though you could speak fine, you would have just, I think, tightened up, you know.
It took some time for sure.
Yeah, and you know, those reminders of how different the lifestyle could be there versus here is a sideways demonstration of the courage to walk away from that. Because it's like, even if you moving offers a better lifestyle in every conceivable way, we're humans, are creatures of habit. It's intimidating to completely change everything about life. You know, it's like, even if it's theoretically going to be more comfortable, or, you know, big things and small things are better. Obviously, I would not dare say that every single aspect of moving was an upgrade. I mean, not least of which, your family is far away now. That's hard to call that an upgrade. And, you know, there's things you were talking about, like the CAS, for example, going, God, mm-hmm. I wish we had that in the U.S., you know, these regional foods and things that it's actually amazing right. to me that there's...
That's a fruit that is from Costa Rica and...
Seemingly only in Costa
Rica. Just so you guys, yeah, it seems like it's only in Costa Rica. I don't know. I'm not going to just... this is just... anyway, but yeah, it's so good. We normally drink it in juice, like you just blend it, you know, with water and sugar. And it's amazing. But I love eating it with salt. It's just, oh my God, I'm drooling right now. But anyway, it's so good. And I was so happy. The first thing I did was to eat gallo pinto and cass. The first hour I landed, I was in a restaurant eating gallo pinto and drinking cass.
Well, Gallo Pinto you make all the time, but it is nice. I love when I've visited Costa Rica, and when you even just stay in a hotel like a Hilton or a Marriott or something, you know, sort of generic, like American hotel chain. They have all the Gallo Pinto and Cas and the Mamoncino, then they have all these things in like the yeah. breakfast buffet, which I thought was
I didn't see Mamoncinos though. I was looking. It seems like it's not the season yet.
Right, that's probably true.
Yeah.
I just looked it up out of curiosity. It looks like there's a
Cas?
Yeah, I just thought, you know, it's been a while since I Googled it, and maybe I should see. And it looks like there are, like, fruit delivery, you know, kind of like online, you know, tropicalfruitbox.com. Yeah,
pay 10 times what Cas costs just to have it in the U.S.
Probably, yes. That's the funny thing. I'm trying to find...
I don't think it's worth it, though.
Well, interesting. But that's you can just have cacao, like delivered as a fruit. I wonder. I've never tasted that. I'm curious.
But you know how it is. It's like white.
I know what it looks like. I just don't know what it tastes like.
You did try it.
No.
It's sweet.
Well, I'm sure.
It's like Wawa. It's like Wawa. Do you remember Wawa?
Yeah, of course. Yeah, I have that here.
It's like that.
I guess. I don't see Cas in this particular company. Here's one that does a mixed, like, variety box. But I don't see Cas.
It comes with a tropical spider.
Oh my god. Don't even joke about that. yeah, durian and
yeah, how sad that you can't fly those things.
Well, I'm sure it is exactly what you just said, that the cost associated would make it so that by the time it got to the market, they'd have to charge so much to recover the cost of the transportation. And it's like, would you pay $20 for a banana? You know, like, it's not special enough. It's not, it's just kind of like you're in a situation where you go, I guess we just won't have it.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I'm amazed
it's just better to go, like, make it a point to go and eat it there.
Oh, I loved
the full experience.
There were so many fruits in Costa Rica that I never saw before, that I never had, like the grenade ones. What are those called?
You love those.
Yeah.
It's like mucus.
They look off-putting, but they're so nice.
The mucus, and they're really nice, yes. Granadas.
Yeah, okay, yeah. So they are just called grenades.
Yep.
Granadas. Yep. They were no, I don't like the kind of texture you're describing, but these, it's not like that. It's like, it's just all stuck together on the inside, and you just kind of like swallow it like an oyster.
Yep.
But those were nice. And yeah, all these things I never heard of. It's a perfect, yet another demonstration of when you go somewhere in the world and you eat their food. My favorite example of this probably ever in my entire life was when I asked my friends who I was visiting in a foreign part of the world from where I come from, will you choose food for me that represents the best thing we can eat? And they showed up, this was in Bangkok, with KFC. And it turns out that KFC is a big deal in Thailand. They love their, and it's like the regional, it has all the kind of curry flavoring, and it was amazing.
This is specific, is the KFC of the,
it's like the Thailand,
like
KFC.
Their recipe.
Yeah, they have their own kind of twist. That's, you know, very similar, fried chicken and all that, but a lot of these things that are also very different because obviously, you know, ultra, ultra spicy. Silly canvas. ultra spicy chicken and whatnot is a staple of Thai food. Anyway, I love that. To me, this is like that Anthony Bourdain, you know, you go around the world and you try people's food. You know, having grape leaves at a family dinner in Amman, Jordan was a very memorable experience with Amin and his parents. You know, it was like really nice food.
Which Which would you say is the Costa Rica? Like, if somebody asks, hey guys, will you recommend any dishes? Which one is your suggestion?
Well, it seems to me that the most quintessential is gallo pinto. But of all the things that I've had, I think the one that I really love, maybe because we do it rarely, was the patacones. I think patacones with guacamole, I feel like I could eat that every day. I thought it was so awesome. Which,
it's really good.
Which you should explain what that is.
Oh, those are just green plantains smashed like a tortilla, and you fry them, and they're like chips, and you eat the smashed beans or guacamole or, you know, whatever with them, and it's just like chips.
Yeah, they're really good. Like giant thick chips. It's the instead of a potato chip where you can eat 500 of them and each one is sort of like barely anything.
Yeah, you can only eat
It's like you have like three of these patacones and you've already had a pretty substantial. So they are like giant. It's like eating it's like a small pancake with but closer to the consistency of a chip. Man, that's one of those. I never heard of that. I've had all manner of Mexican food, and I've had Argentinian food, and I've had done Brazilian food, and all of them are different. I mean, the other thing that's also funny that I never thought, it just also one of those things that you get into such a blind spot in the U.S. was that my conception of like anything sort of the Spanish-speaking world, you know, the Hispanic or Latin world.
Spicy.
Was through the filter of Mexico, which it turns out is basically the only one that does spicy because all these habanero plants and everything are native to Mexico. And literally from that southward, I couldn't believe how mild, we'll say, politely.
Yes.
Everything was in Costa Rica by comparison. I was so used to, you know.
It's very simple. Yes, it's very simple.
Zero spiciness.
It doesn't have any spice. Yes.
And so many times we've shared something and it's too much for you. And I think, my God, you know, I'm like a medium weight with spiciness. I'm not a lightweight, but, you know, my mother, for example, can eat fire and be perfectly fine. And so, you know, I kind of developed a bit of a taste for it just being in that family. But it amazes me how times I'll have something and I'll think, okay, that's okay. And you're like dying. You're miserable. And I thought.
I don't know. I just don't find attractive flavors that I can't taste because of the spice.
Yeah. I mean, look, I conceptually agree with you. I just have a higher tolerance for it before I feel that way. But I agree. Ultra spicy things that make you numb. I always think, you know, other than the fact that it's funny for a second, this isn't actually a good food experience. But I think the other thing that we kind of, when we were thinking about what to talk about for this one, I think the other aspect of it is that travel is, as an artist, a tremendous way, a very powerful way to kind of recharge the creative batteries. I find when I travel, I end up thinking about music in slightly refreshed ways, or I just feel I just feel new motivation once I'm back. You know, I feel kind of ready to go, you know, and it's not just the idea of a vacation, because most of my travel is not vacations. I think maybe the break of routine helps keep you fresh. But also just, I don't know, seeing new people, seeing new other musicians around the world. You know, obviously in your case, you got to go to a convention and see all these artists and cosplayers. And it must have the same effect, right? Where you feel kind of like...
Oh, yes, absolutely. Yeah, it felt like I never left. It was really nice, at least with the people that they were, you know, they knew I was there, and they were kind enough to reach out, and I don't know, it felt really, really nice, and I needed that. I needed like the to feel like I was part of a community again.
Well, I'm all for building communities wherever we go, but there is always something about returning to one's origins that has a, you know, an unmistakable, or like, not unmistakable, but a sort of reliable impact of doing that again.
Right.
You know? I think that's why people...
Yeah, obviously, I'm not saying that I don't have already, you know, a group here, but you can't just compare, you know, my whole life, 30 years there.
Yeah, exactly. So. Exactly. Yeah, I think it's so, you know, obviously, it doesn't really need to be said that the ability to travel and see the world is something that not everyone has the option to do. And that's a tough one to solve. Obviously, it so often just comes down to financials. And then also things like, you made me really appreciate, once you came into my life, the fundamental difference it is to have an American passport versus having basically any other passport.
Oh my God, yes, you are so lucky, and you didn't even know.
I knew I was lucky in this intellectual sense. Like, I knew it as a statement, but I didn't feel it until we started to plan trips together, and I realized, I can't remember where we were going.
Canada.
Well, that wasn't the destination. The destination, I think, was maybe London. Or
yeah,
Poland.
And even it was, even knowing that it wasn't a destination, and I needed a extra,
you needed a tourist visa,
or
that had to be applied for months in advance, just to
be in their airport,
just to pass through the airport in like Toronto. That blew my mind. I thought, what are Canadians so afraid of that Costa Ricans can't pass through? Apparently, you know, there's this whole notion of what they call quarantined airports versus not, which is airports that are considered quarantined, which this term predates the pandemic. It has nothing to do with that. But it's the idea that it's a kind of enclosed environment with presumably sufficient security that if people pass through, even who would not be otherwise authorized into the country, it's permitted and it's no big deal. You know, that, and I had no idea that Canada, I mean, I do know that Canada has a bit of a protectionist streak because I've run into that myself when I went there for Ubisoft on Assassin's Creed Syndicate, and I got stopped at the airport, and they went through my bag, they read my messages on my phone, they were very suspicious of me because they thought, oh, I'm a legal worker, and I said, I'm not here to do work, I'm just here to meet my friends, basically. And they were like, okay. And they very suspiciously let me through, and I had every right to be there. And so I got a little taste, but in the end, it was fine. That I didn't have the uphill battle of my passport already putting me at a disadvantage like most of the world has. It's not a Costa Rica thing. It's like a default state. So it makes it all the more sad that, you know, you want to be able, like, I was able to see my friend Tantrakul, who played on the Thai Cave Rescue. He came to LA. He was performing in a festival, and he was able to come to LA. And I didn't ask him, but I'm sure it was a whole process to be able to come with a Thai passport.
Yeah,
and for sure. do all the long and it just, so I feel very, very lucky. And I occasionally see people make like GoFundMes and things to be able to travel, and I try to, anytime I come across, I try to throw in some money because it's such a powerful way to make the world a better place when we all get to actually see each other. But it's tough when it's expensive and you have all these geopolitics creating an extra layer as if the cost weren't enough. So, but I still, if you have anyone listening, if you have an opportunity to travel for any reason, especially if you're an artist, I think it's crucial.
It's the best you can do, yeah. To grow as a person, not only as an artist.
Yeah, well, and I would argue that the best artistic growth is often connected to your personal growth and vice versa. You know, it's not a part of the personality that's so separate that if you grow in one, you won't grow in the other. At least that's my goal. But you're not wrong. I am not disagreeing with you.
True. Yeah.
So anyway, this also came up because we were planning travels of our own.
Oh my god, I'm so excited for the next one.
You want to say what it is?
Actually, not the next one, but the one we just booked for October.
Which is?
Which is, I forgot the name of it.
I actually don't remember what it's called either. It's Power, yeah. Power something.
Power, yeah, Power Tour.
Power Tour?
Power Tour?
I kept wanting to say
Power Trip.
Power Trip, power yeah, trip. Okay. Yeah. Wait. I think Power Trip is right. Yeah, it's Power Trip.
Yeah, Power Trip.
My brain, every time I saw it, I just kept thinking of the Power Glove, the which is like that band that did music on Far Cry. What was that Far Cry game? The Blood Dragon, yeah, from Far Cry 3. And it's like pure 80s synth pop Power Glove, named for the old Nintendo peripheral. Anyway, yeah. Every time I saw Power Trip, I just kept thinking Power Glove, and it couldn't be more different from that. So what is Power Trip?
Yeah, Power Trip is basically, I just read a comment actually, because I shared on Facebook, and somebody was like, oh, so this is the Coachella for old people. So that's that. That's that, which
Coachella
is amazing.
Coachella for old
because,
people.
Yes.
I mean, I guess that's
which is
true.
Great for me, because here's the thing. I will never, ever go to a music festival. You know how those things are. It's like 20 bands per day. And people normally, they stay there the entire time, like for 4 days or whatever. And they're camping. And I don't see myself doing that. I don't know. I just don't have the energy. It's intimidating and scary and everything. I don't know. So this Power Trip is the perfect combination for people like me and old people as well, because yes, I'm still a child. This is a music festival that is gathering Guns N' Roses, Iron Maiden, AC/DC, Ozzy Osbourne, Metallica, and Tool. And it's two bands per night. It's just 3 nights. And it's just, yeah, I saw that and I was like, I'm in.
It's amazing to me to think this. It's amazing to me to frame that as Coachella for old people when those are all like the most hardcore metal bands in the world, at
but
least of their
old.
Era. Yeah, I was going to say, I mean, Ozzy, you pointed out that Ozzy can barely even move around. So, I mean, yeah, fair point. But then again, we went and saw the Stones and Mick Jagger runs like
that's
he's 40
like,
years old.
That's like an exception. I just don't know what I don't know if he takes any drugs. I don't know. I was so impressed.
I think it's safe to say the Rolling Stones. Although, I guess, yeah, at this age, who knows? But
I don't know.
He blew my mind. He was so energetic, and he is. He's like 100, and he looks 100.
Yes.
It's not like he looks like a young man.
You know, absolutely.
At least in his face, he looks old and weathered, and there's a lot of miles on the car, as it were. But he moves like me. I was like, and if not better.
I was it was
blown away.
Mm-hmm. They had like a 100 meters, you know, like bridge in the middle of the people, and he kept running back and forth. It just
in the middle of a song where he has to get to the other side in time to pick up the mic and keep singing. It was that was amazing. It's
amazing. So inspiring.
Yeah, I really am grateful. I've always enjoyed a very diverse diet of music, but I rarely went and actually saw shows. I would listen to all manner of jazz artists, pop artists, you know, classic rock, modern bands, alternative hip hop. I listened to a lot. In addition, of course, to the composers of my field and classical music. But I would rarely go see them live. And I've seen random here and there. But I love going to see these groups. You know, like I'll go see the LA Opera do Verdi's Otello, as I'm doing this weekend. And then we'll go see Metallica and Iron Maiden and AC/DC, you know. And I like that. I feel like that's a good that's a good way to be.
Yeah, I love that you're so open to this, because I actually was expecting, you know, going alone, like going with a friend of mine and not seeing you there. But I was impressed when you said, yes, let's do it. Because, yes, it is like these bands are amazing, but I don't know if you were that into them to make a sacrifice of, you know, traveling for 3 days. Which
it's just one of those things. I traveled so much last year, and it really made me see, you know, like you can just work harder those days you're home and then go travel. You know, I mean, I flew to London for one day to go to the proms.
That's because it's special and it's your thing. But not.
Yeah, but the point is, it's super disruptive on the schedule to do that, even though it's short.
It's true.
So.
Anyway, I'm so grateful that you were into it, and I know you're gonna love it.
Oh, I can't wait. So, all right. So, pick an album of the day.
From yes, I will.
One of them.
You know, I will. No. Actually. Just for the people that didn't know, I also got a new tattoo when I was in Costa Rica. That was one of the first things I did.
It's
a dragon from Spirit Away, but it's mostly a representation of myself because my Chinese zodiac is a dragon. And
Year of the
that
dragon.
That one specifically is like the most beautiful dragon I've seen. The regular Chinese dragons, they normally have like angry faces and, you know, they're not as attractive, but this one is so handsome that I just love them so much. And he's flying through like in my shoulder, on my shoulder, arm, and like my here, my chest, with a little
red. It's huge. It's huge. It's like your elbow all the way to your collarbone.
Yes. With a little rat on his back, and that's you, because Austin is a rat in the Chinese zodiac, and so it's a representation of us as travelers, and that's why I think that it's a great album of the day. It's a great idea to call Joe Hisaishi.
Yeah,
is that his name?
Yeah, yeah. The composer of the Miyazaki films.
Yes. And I think, I think that guy...
Spirited Away, you mean, specifically?
Yeah, or, you know what? Any album of us is just so pretty.
To me, it's pretty hard to top Howl's Moving Castle. That music is so beautiful. But he's written many, many, many... there's a whole Hollywood Bowl show of his music this summer that I got us tickets to.
Are we going? Oh, yes? Yeah. So exciting. So, yeah, that's it. I'm just going to link the album of the day, as always, in the episode and the description. And I am so grateful that you guys are still here listening to our rambling. And don't forget, you can talk to us, email us, or just interact with us on social media at Brushes and Keys.
Woohoo!
Any last words?
Nope, that was perfect. Can't top it.
Yay!